Well, we're in a three-week series called Family Matters. And the title of today's message, this is the second of three messages. The title of today's message is Family Matters in All Stages. Everybody in this room, we're all familiar with the stages of life. And typically when people talk about life stages, if they have an image in their mind, the image is something like this. Let's put it up on the screen. There you go. So you start out, you have this upward trajectory, and then at some point in your life, you are over the hill. You're over the hill. There you go. I think there's a better model. Let's put it up. A hub and spokes. Christ is at the very center. And each age, like a spoke, is equidistant from the hub. At every point in your life, you are in the same sacred relationship with the living God. You're always that close to His love, always that close to His purposes. It's not like, well, you're close when you're younger, and then at some point you're over the hill in God's eyes. No, I mean, life has a lifespan for sure. But this is the picture and the image I want you to have in your mind today. Balswick and Balswick, married couple, but they're theologians. And they've written a book that I think is a classic on family theology, where they step back, and rather than just looking at one scripture, they just step back and they take a look at all the Bible has to say about families. And they summarize it in four words. Here are the four words: covenant, grace, empowering, and intimacy. And in a healthy family, all four of these will thrive. Some families may be weaker in some of these, but you want to continue to grow in covenant, which is what? To love and be loved. Grace, to forgive and be forgiven. Empowering, to serve and to be served. And intimacy, to know and to be known. That's my prayer for you, my vision for you, and every stage of life. Now, let's walk through some life stages together and just sort of remind one another at the preciousness of these various stages. You know, human life inevitably progresses through various stages. The wonder of childhood, the energy of youth, the endurance of adulthood, and then the glory of older age. And the Bible invites its readers to not only recognize the stages of life, but to live in each stage as God intended, and to cherish each stage as a gift from God. So let's start with childhood. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." We all know that golden text. That verse encapsulates the joy of the gospel and the promise of salvation. God gives His Son for salvation. Listen, but He didn't send Jesus as a man or even as a teen, but as what? As an infant. And every Christmas season, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, a child. Children are a gift. And the Bible's witness is absolutely consistent. Every single child is made in the image of God. And every single child at every single stage and age is an undiluted gift and is to be celebrated and welcomed. Children are vulnerable. And that's why children need to be protected. And I believe that protection even begins in the womb. The unborn child is a life waiting to have a birth. Day. And that child is not to be aborted. The unborn child is a person and has a right to live. And to every young pregnant woman in a difficult situation who thinks abortion is the only option. It is not the only option, and you do not want to go there. There are other options, and Christians, our church in particular, will help you along the way. We have in the past, we will now, and in the future. You are not as desperate and alone as you may feel in the moment. There is a body of loving, caring individuals connected to this church and the wider Christian community that will help you choose life and then provide support after your life-honoring decisions. And to every woman here who made the abortion choice in the past, and to every person here who encouraged it, and now you sit in the light of a new day and you think, oh, if I had it to do over again, I would make a different choice. Let me say to you that God's redeeming, cleansing grace covers you in Christ. Run to Him. Though our sins be as scarlet, we can be white as snow. Speaking of children, the Bible will say in Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." From Luke 1, this picture, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. As Christians, we have the responsibility to spread Christ's message about the dignity of all human life. One of the most beautiful things you'll see in the lives of children is adoption, a supreme act of love and affection, providing comfort and security for a child. Children must be cherished as children. As children. We'll read a Bible verse later where the Apostle Paul will say, "When I was a child, I thought like a child, spoke like a child, reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." But listen, don't rush that verse. When I was a child, I talked like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. Children do that. Children think, talk, reason like children. They're not just smaller adults. They don't have adult vocabulary. They don't have adult filters. Just about every parent or grandparent somewhere has a story about a child making an observation that's not particularly socially appropriate. And if an adult said it, it would be considered rude. I always told my kids, gang, you can ask me any question anytime. If ever you hear a word and you're not sure what it means, you can come to me and ask about that word. In fact, come to me before you go to your Sunday school teacher, okay? Just come to me first. We glory in the child speaking like a child, thinking like a child. Children are to be welcomed by the people of God. They have little minds ready to absorb, little souls ready to receive the message of Jesus Christ. They have destinies ready to be postured. Some of you know what it's like to grieve a child. I can think of no sadness as great as the death of a child. It's overwhelming. Maybe you lost a child through a miscarriage, or maybe it was a child who died at an early age. What will it be like to be reunited with them one day in heaven? That day is coming. You will call them by name. They will call you by name. And your child is happier now than the happiest person on earth has ever been. Children are a gift from God. And then the next stage, of course, is adolescence, the teen years, the years between childhood and adulthood. It can be a hazardous passage. Someone said it's like rapids along a river. Things may go rough for a while, but if you hang on and don't panic, everything will eventually smooth out again. But these are years of incredible physical, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual development. Intellectually, now all of a sudden the adolescent engages in complex analytical reasoning as well as abstract thinking. In other words, a 4-year-old thinks, but a 14-year-old thinks about thinking. And one of the hallmarks of the adolescent brain, and you know, this is not Bible, but some experts say that the adolescent brain is really not fully developed until maybe early 20s, mid-20s. That's why, especially in males, there's sometimes this disjunction, this chasm between risk and reality. There can be some foolishness, some recklessness. One father of teens said, the scariest phrase in all the world is, hey, watch this. During adolescence, we meet strangers in our house. The child who's always said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, now says, why? And it's not the four-year-old why. There are big questions, and they're smart, and they can think, and they're asking big questions, and they deserve good answers. Most people who are Christians will tell you they were exposed to Christianity at an early age. Now, not everybody. There are people who were first exposed to Christianity when they were in their 30s or 40s or even much older. But 90%, say some studies, of people who now walk with Jesus say, I was exposed to the gospel at an early age. And we say to every adolescent in your family, you're safe here. We don't run from your questions. We run to your questions, and we believe the Christian faith has credible answers and responses. And Ecclesiastes 12 says this, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Teens, you've got skin in the game now. The game doesn't begin when you're 30. Don't stiff arm God. Now you're making big decisions in life. And in your late teens and early 20s, you are in rapid fire mode. So many life shaping decisions. And if you would be insulted as a 17-year-old, if your family were to say, we think you need a babysitter, then I want to challenge you, be insulted that you say you need a spiritual babysitter. Don't adapt to low expectations in our culture. Don't settle for low expectations. Do not say, I'm only a teen, as though the only thing you can do is, you know, do schoolwork and watch videos. There's ministry for you. There are questions to tackle. Rebel against low expectations and remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And then that leads to the young adult stage. At what time does that begin? Well, it varies, but let's say 20 to 35. 1 Corinthians 13 says it like this. When I was a child, I talked like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. We have a new participle in our culture. It's called adulting. The definition in one dictionary is as follows. The practice of behaving in a way that is characteristic of a responsible adult. And it continues, especially the accomplishment of mundane but necessary tasks. That's what adults do. You get up, go to work, pay the bills. We do these mundane but necessary tasks that make a civilization operate. And during these years, often you make a decision about marriage. You choose a spouse, or sometimes you choose a life of singleness. And you know what? The Bible says that both are good choices. Marriage is ordained by God, but you're not obligated to marry. The single life, the holy single life, is a good choice as well. And then we move into midlife, ages 35 through 50. And what's interesting is that now, what's midlife for us in many cultures and many times has been end of life, but we're living longer, and we're blessed to have these extra decades. Midlife signals that youth and childhood are behind us, and now the chief developmental task in life is maturing, and we're keenly aware now in these ages how quickly life moves, and we realize that indeed we are mortal. Some people find out that success isn't all they thought it would be. Some people find out they've been chasing the wrong dream. And adulthood has its own temptations. One, it can lead to arrogance. You've done pretty well. And if you're not careful, you start thinking, hey, I've done well. I've done all this. And you get really arrogant and you forget God and His kindness. Or there's another temptation at this stage, and it's just despair. Despair. Well, what are you going to do at this stage of life? Peter Drucker once said, people now have two lives. We're living longer. Life number one and life number two. And they're over-prepared for life number one and under-prepared for life number two. There's no university for the second half of life. Are you ready? And then the mature adult, ages 50 to 70. And for many, this stage of life actually can bring about the greatest satisfaction. You've passed beyond a number of insecurities. Maybe you've raised a family, and now you're engaging in empty nest. You know, for Martha and me, we love our children. We enjoyed every single stage. And then we came to the empty nest stage of life. And somebody says, well, Ronnie, was that a difficult adjustment? It took me a good 3-4 minutes to get used to the empty nest stage of life. Now, we love it, and we love now the stage where we have grandchildren, and it's fantastic. Contrary to all those over-the-hill greeting cards, remember, you're as close at this stage to the love and purposes of God, and generativity is key. Generativity is simply about receiving something from the previous generation, putting your own touch and spin on it, and passing it along to the next generation. And this greatly affects your mindset. Because at this stage of life, hopefully, if you've got some energy, and I believe you do, there's no age limit to enthusiasm. And often, you can spend your retirement period and you can rediscover and redeploy your energies and your gifts and your strengths. But let's face it too, we come to the stage in life, we've had some successes and some failures, and we've experienced our share of grief. I'm 61. I've gone to far too many funerals. I've buried my mom, buried my dad. Martha's buried both of her parents. I buried my sister Gail. Buried a lot of good friends here. C.S. Lewis said that the death of a loved one is like an amputation. Like amputees, we often reach to scratch what is missing, only to discover there's nothing there. Somebody says, it seems like there are more older people around. You know why it seems that way? There are more older people around. It's not an illusion. It's not a perception. There are more older people around. There's a vast increase in the number and their energy. In fact, there's even a new stage of life people talk about, that late adult stage. You know, you're a mature adult, and the clock starts ticking a little louder, but at some point, the clock does run down, and the human body dies. And late in life, that older adult, and, you know, Martha's Aunt Margaret died 1 week ago today. She was 100 and a half, and the most vibrant, engaging, happy, optimistic person. The letter we received from her, handwritten 2 pages at Christmas, was absolutely inspirational and so very articulate. People who are in their late adult stage often ask, did my life really make any difference? It did. And they'll often say to their family, I just don't want to be a burden. My mom often said that to me, Ronnie, I just don't want to be a burden. I said, Mom, I was a burden to you. I was a burden to you for a lot of years. She agreed. Too enthusiastically, I might add. I was a burden to you. And yeah, sure, you cost a little money. You take some time and energy from Carolyn and me. But there's a difference between a joy But there's a difference between a burden that's a pain and a burden that's a privilege and a joy. You are not a burden that's a drain. It is our privilege and honor to return the favor. You know, the Bible even says regarding our families that families take care of families, and that if a person can help a family member, they don't help. It said they've denied the faith, and they're worse than an unbeliever. That's in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. But here's a different view of aging from 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let me put the diagram back on the screen. Every age and stage of life is precious to God. And families need to treasure other family members at each stage. We love and we are loved. We serve and we are served. We know and we are known. We forgive and we are forgiven. And to those of you who are mature adults and in your late adult years, you make a difference to us. We're grateful and honored that you are here. God honors age. God honors the little ones, and we do too. In closing, you are never over the hill in God's eyes. You're as close to His heart now as you've ever been in your life. And life is lived in seasons. And every single season is a gift from God. Let me ask you, what season are you in? Embrace God's purposes for you in that season of your life. And to our younger ones here, children, teens, students, remember in this season of your life, one of God's Ten Commandments to you is honor your father and your mother. No one loves you like your mom and your dad. They are wise. They love you. Listen to them and cherish them. Are you retired? I hope you'll also consider being redeployed. There's much for you to do in the church, in your family, and in our community. And for those of you married, and you've been married a long time, love your spouse through the seasons of life. Keep investing in your marriage. Read at least one good marriage book a year. No matter how old you are, check out those websites I have listed in the order of worship. Focus on the family. Family Life Today. Ask your mate, even though you've been married 40 years, hey, sweetheart, what's one thing? What are two things I can do to improve as a wife, to improve as a husband? Your marriage doesn't have to be one long rerun. Keep investing, pay attention, take inventory, and love your mate through the seasons of life.